One of the things I like to do. Got it. One of the things I like to do is, or set out to do, is to just look at the different kings. I'm not good at remembering names and stuff, but I remember when I first had this thought a few years ago, I'm going to look and see which kings were good, which ones were bad. Well, it's pretty easy on Israel's side because they were all bad after David and Solomon. But in Judah, you had some good ones. And it would say, when it introduces in Chronicles or Second Chronicles, the king, it'll say either they did right in the eyes of the Lord or they didn't. They did not do good. They didn't tear down the high places, various stuff like this. But here in 26th chapter of Second Chronicles, we have Uzziah. It says, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. Verse 3, I don't want to read too much. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Verse 5, it says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That's, if you're watching a movie or reading a book and you hear something like that, that's what you call foreshadowing right there. You're like, okay, it sounds like there's more to this story. But it says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I kind of do a Marco Polo study with Brother Joe, Brother James, Brother Luke Addison, and Brother out in California, Cherry Anstey. And we've been talking about some about the providence of God, and sometimes, you know, well, there's providence of God that's, you know, unmerited grace, but there's providences that's conditional here, and this sounds like condition here. He was seeking the Lord. It says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And whenever you see this, it kind of gets my attention here, and we can go on further, and I don't want to read all that he had, but he had many cattle, and he was a husbandman, and many vine dressers in the mountains. He loved husbandry. He had a host of fighting men. He was just blessed. And then we go down to verse 15. It says, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name was spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Once again, this is a red flag to me here. You know, going back to verse 5, it says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I don't believe. I see this as a beautiful picture of, you know, there's a gospel preached today, which is not a gospel, called the prosperity gospel. You know, you can turn on the TV and they'll tell you if you follow the Lord, he's going to bless you with a Mercedes Benz, a Lexus, and everything you ever want. Well, that's just not true. That's not found in the scripture. But here it says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And I see this as a beautiful picture in the Lord's kingdom, and in a minute we'll look further into that prospering. But Uzziah, you know, it is easy to be humble whenever you're just lower than a snake's belly, you know. But whenever you get blessed, you know, I stop to think on this and how blessed we are as a people. I think of my ministry, I think of people I've ministered to and my ministry. You know, people say, you have a bad sermon, you need to forget it as quick as you can. When you have a good sermon, you need to forget it as quick as you can. Because the devil will take every opportunity he has to ensnare you. Lest, like Apostle Paul says, lest I be exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. But I think of those who have been low in life, just low. And I saw firsthand the Lord get them through it. When they're through it, they start drifting off again. I'm just like, you need to stick around. You need to thank the Lord for what he's done for you. It says here is he was marvelously helped till he was strong, and he didn't quit being helped because he got strong. He quit being helped because his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Right? What he did was he went into the temple and did something that was not his duty. I thought of all the things that he could do. As king of Judah, what could he not do? Well, he couldn't go into the temple and offer sacrifices, but he did. It's kind of like there's not much he can't do, but he did it. But also on the drive home today, I was thinking about how great an example King Uzziah is of the preservation of the saints. The other day we had a singing at the church I pastor down in Stratton, and we had some folks from the community, and never met them. They just moved in the area. You know, boy, I tell you what, I'm getting excited. We got visitors, but I'm like, all right, let's act like we've been here before, folks. That's not overbearing. But later on, I got to talk to the guy, and he asked me, so what's the old question, you know, what's the difference between, I'm familiar with regular Baptists, what's primitive Baptist? He goes, do y'all believe in perseverance of the saints? And I was like, no. We believe in preservation of the saints. Now, here, you think of King Uzziah, and I just, driving home, I thought, this is a great example. Because I have proof, I believe, in the scripture that he is in heaven right now. Because in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord lifted up. That tells me that Uzziah was seeing the Lord lifted up. He saw his train fill the temple and his throne, it says. He says, I saw also. So that tells us that King Uzziah was gazing upon the Lord and seeing that. So that tells me he's in heaven. Now, he messed up in this world. He quit following after the Lord. He quit seeking the Lord, and he quit prospering. But he's in heaven now. But as long, it says, as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I looked up that word prosper, and it's to move forward or to be fruitful. And we've heard it said so often, you know, lots of people today are trying to figure out, what is my purpose in life? Well, you can go to the end of Revelation chapter 4. Serve God. To serve God is our purpose in life. And we can go further, and I believe it's to be fruitful. And we can go further, to be fruitful in his kingdom. I tell you, that is a great blessing to be fruitful in his kingdom. It's a blessing to us, and it pleases the Lord. Now, in the first psalm, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, we're not to believe that if we do these things, delight in the law of God and everything, that we won't have tribulations. The Lord Jesus told us himself, in this world ye shall have tribulations. But here he says he is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The job I had before this 16 years ago, I worked for A&M, and we had test plots, corn and grain sorghum, all over the state of Texas. And we worked up in the high plains of Texas, and I was looking here. Brother Troy's the only other Texan I see on here, but he doesn't know any. I mean, he's from East Texas, and there it's just, he's covered up by trees. But you get out in West Texas, around Perryton was our furthest plot up north. And they say up there you can watch your dog run away for 2 weeks. It's so flat, no trees. But I remember one time coming through the plains, and I was taking a nap. My boss was driving. We'd have to pull a combine, a 12-hour drive up there, pulling a combine. And anyway, I took a nap, and I woke up, and there's trees everywhere. And I thought, man, we're almost home, because we have – I know maybe some of y'all don't consider these trees, but we got trees compared to them. And we weren't anywhere near home, but we were crossing the Canadian River. And now every time I read this verse, I think of that. There wasn't any trees in that area, but there's trees around the river. The other day I was looking on Google Earth, I believe, and I was looking over in Egypt. I like to trying to get a feel for that area whenever you read about these places. But I was looking in Egypt, and it's just a desert, but you just see a green strip through there around the Nile River, and in the delta it just spreads all out. Oh, there's life around that river. And I read this, and it says, his delight is in the law. He had meditated on it day and night. And it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. I tell you, we're in a desert. We're in a desolate land. We're like Mephibosheth whenever King David says, go and fetch him. He was in Lodabar, which is called a pastureless country. That's where we are by nature and in this world. But it says here next to the river, the trees bear their fruit in their season. His leaf shall not wither. You know, this causes me to think of the church, and it makes me think of the footsteps of the flock and those that have gone on in our past, those that I consider the Hebrews 13, whereby we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Those great men of faith who I would look up to, and perhaps as a young child, or even now, I could see horrible things happening around them, trials and tribulations of the world, yet they almost seemed unaffected. And it would just puzzle me. How can they do that? Well, I believe they were planted by that river. They were planted by that rivers, and they continued to bear fruit in their seasons. Oh, I tell you, I'm thankful for the cloud of witnesses we have. And that's why I think church is so important. Yes, you can. Yeah. Does God deal with people outside the church? He does. He helps them. Does he answer prayers outside the church? He does. But I tell you, he calls us to congregate together. And it's one we're commanded to. But it's also for our own good. Because we can look about. We can tell the towers, if you will. Mark ye the bulwarks. We can see and be where the generations past say, this is the way, walk ye therein. Oh, I was just recently thought of those that crossed over the Jordan River whenever they finally went into Canaan's land. And Joshua told them, by order of God, choose ye 12 stones. Choose ye 12 stones. And when your kids ask, what mean ye these stones? Ye tell them about the deliverance here this day. That's a beautiful picture of the church and the progression and the procession of the church. How it goes from generation to generation. End of 22nd Psalm, it says, and tell the generations to come. Oh, may we tell our kids that the church, that's where you want to plant your tree by that river. That river. You go to 46 Psalm. I think it gives us a picture of that river. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Verse 4. There is a river. Thus, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Oh, there is a river. And the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High God. So back to this. You think of those rivers, like I talked about in the West Texas or in the Nile River, where there's desert around or plains around, all but near the river. There's trees that roots go into that water that bring forth fruit in all seasons. Because they're linked in, if you will, to the river that flows from the throne of God. They shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit. His fruit in the season, his leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Here we are again. As with King Uzziah, as long as he sought the Lord, the Lord made him to prosper. No, I don't think it's talking about worldly riches. It can. The Lord can bless us with that. I've seen all manners of people in God's church, rich, poor. But it says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man entering the kingdom of heaven. I believe that's someone who's trusting in their riches and not on the Lord. But here, King Uzziah, as long as he sought the Lord, and here, whose tree was planted by that river, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You think of those people in your past, or you can look in Hebrews 11 and those in those who walked by faith, who sought the Lord. Proverbs 4, lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. You think on these things. Think on the people that you've been blessed to have in your life, and those that have walked the walk, Abraham, Moses, Enoch, and those in that chapter. They weren't without tribulation. They had their troubles. They had their weak moments. But oh, they brought forth fruit. It's a sweet thing to bear fruit in his kingdom. And they prospered in the way of the Lord. I think of that river also, and there's a song When Languor and Disease Invade. I love that song, but folks at home, they just think it's so sad. I'm like, just get past that first part. It's true. When Languor and Disease Invade. And it says, sweet to look beyond my pain and long to soar away. But the last verse of that is, if such the sweetness of the stream, what must the fountain be where saints and angels draw their bliss directly, Lord, from thee? Another river I've seen in Costa Rica. It's called Rio Tenorio. And I pass it on the highway, and it just looks like it's, they're not big rivers down there. But I've been up in the mountains close to its source, and it's some of the prettiest blue water I've ever seen. Waterfall there with blue water. Now go back to that song I just mentioned. It's such the sweetness of the stream. What must the fountain be? I tell you, that river where the streams make the city of God glad, I tell you, its source is heaven itself. And throughout the ages, since the Lord set up his church on the banks of the Jordan River, then he ordained 12 apostles. Then he, Paul told Timothy, these things I've told you, commit thou to faithful men. And it's gone on and on. And that river, thanks be unto God, flows to this day. Here in this time, it's flowing in California, we trust, in Arkansas, Texas, Mississippi, wherever the Lord has a little band of believers that come and seek him. All from the outside, it doesn't look like they're prospering at all, does it? Brother Bill Walden, the previous pastor where I was, talked about a guy who came one time, and he loved it there, but he felt so sorry and wanted to give us some money so we could buy a piano. And Brother Bill says, no, we're fine. It doesn't look like we're prospering from the outside. It's like that tabernacle with badger skins. All but on the inside, it's a place where we can plant our trees by that water. And though troublesome times come and go, oh, we can bring forth our fruit in our season, and our leaves shall not wither, because we have water coming directly from the source in heaven. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. One of my favorite verses, and my wife told me one time she's going to put it on my tombstone. I said, I hope you can. It's Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It's not for my glory, but I sure don't want them to say, you know, that Jeb, as long as he sought the Lord, he was doing all right. But, that scares me. I know what I'm capable of. Oh, may God help us to plant our trees by that water. Oh, and it's just, people don't understand, do they, how? Whenever we're doing it right, the uproars in this world aren't affecting us. Because we have another country, another city, and we're looking for that day. I thank you for your time and attention this night and for the opportunity to be here.